So we're taking a break from the book of John today. But in John chapter 3, the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, we've studied about being born again. Born again. Born again Christians. Born of the Spirit, made alive. Becoming a child of God. Having our sins forgiven. Being a new creature in Christ. And Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Now, if Jesus says you must do something, then we must do something. We must be born again. We learned that we're born again through believing in God's Son, Jesus, as the Savior, the Messiah. And the only way to the Father is to believe in Him. And that's how we enter the kingdom of God and live forever in heaven in a righteous state, because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ and we are able to enter heaven because we're clean, forgiven. But it happens only through Jesus when we're born again. Now, all of us are familiar with being born physically. Everyone here has been born physically. Born once of a father and mother. We entered this world as a baby. And here's a short summary of life. We come out of the womb. As an infant, we're slapped on the butt and had our first cry. Now that should have been a clue as to how life's going to be here. That's how it starts out. It seems we never get rid of that. After coming, you know, do you remember that? I don't remember it at all. But after coming into the world, we're then nurtured, we're fed, we're nourished. We grow up and we learn things. And then we go to school to be educated. And then we go to more school and we're educated concerning many things, concerning life, and how to live here on this earth. We then go out into the world. And we begin earning a living, and we call it work. Some get married. Some have children. We settle in. Eventually, we start thinking about retirement. The years seem to fly right by. When we're retired, we start to get bored. We then die. That's life. That's the way it is here on this earth. Now, it doesn't sound too exciting, does it? There are good times, hard times, but they're fleeting. You know, I was just watching something again this week. I hate to watch these shows where they show your daughter getting married and leaving the dad. I don't like those shows. It brings me to tears all the time. But I was just watching another one, you know, where getting married. They have movies, they have commercials, everything like that. And they're leaving the house, and this dad, I was watching this video, and the dad wrote a song for his daughter getting married. I don't know if any of you remember Marty Goetz. He used to sing at Calvary a lot, way long ago. He was on a special in Jerusalem, because he's Jewish and always sang these Jewish Jesus songs, you know. And his daughter got married quite a while ago, and he wrote a song for her. And wow, it was really heartbreaking. You know, you love them, but then they leave. And that's life. It just goes, and it goes right by. But sad to say, that's it. For many people in this world, that's life. They call that living. Maybe on the deathbed, some have regrets, doubts about their life, maybe feeling they missed out on life, missed out on the things they wanted, and now it's all over. Maybe many are wondering, why? was I here on this earth? Even while alive, they may be, and maybe you and I think once in a while, why am I alive and why am I living on this earth? But enough of the sad story. That's life. That's the sad story if you're living for life on this earth, and especially sad for the unbeliever. We're Christians. We've been born again. We have Jesus, and he has us, and he's never going to let us go. He said, no one can snatch you out of my hand. Isn't that great? Whenever I read that verse, no one can snatch you out of my hand, I think of the way I was with my children. When you'd cross the street or something, or go to the mall or somewhere, you hold their hand. You don't ask them to hold yours. You learn the hard way if you do that. You know, we have two sets of twin granddaughters. And one set of the twin granddaughters lived in New Mexico for a while. And when they were small, maybe three or so, you know, when they can do that Olympic 100-meter dash, the kids about 3 or 4 years old, you can't catch them. You know, they are fast. And the more you chase them, the faster they go. Those are the people that should be in the Olympics. You know, but my wife was with my daughter, and they were in the mall, and I was with them. And I says, go ahead and shop, and I'll take care of the two granddaughters. And I had them hold my hand. We went down in main aisle, and one went that way, and one went that way, as fast as they could go. What do? Well, you run as fast as you can. You snatch up one in your arms. You turn around, run as fast as you can, and you snatch up the other in your arms. And you say, ah, that's what it means when Jesus says, I have you, and no one is able to take you from me. See, he has his hand around ours, and you can't pull away. Sometimes we pull our shoulder out or something because we're trying to get away from the Lord, but you're not going to get away. I don't know if you've ever picked your kids up by the arm. You know, that's not good to do if people see you doing that stuff, but sometimes you're just panicky. And no one can snatch us out of his hand. Isn't that wonderful? We're born again. We're Christians. We have life, and Jesus has us. And what did he come to do? Give us life more abundantly. But what about life here while we're living now? What about the born-again Christian? What about life? Why am I here? I wanted to cover this because we just studied about being born again. And we need to understand, why we're here. I'm born again. I've done what God has called me to do. A person that has believed and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, made spiritually alive, they're forgiven, they've done what they're to do, they have a reservation in heaven. I've been made righteous, I qualify to enter heaven. What about us? We who so want to be clothed in that new body and live in a new place, where there is no more sorrow, no more pain, no more doctor visits, no more watching your weight, no more having to work out. You know, joy forevermore. Eat whatever you want. I don't know if we eat, but there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Sometimes I can go on a trip and say, because I like to take care of myself, I think I'm just going to have a soda, a bag of chips, and a candy bar for dinner. Did you ever think like that? You just go crazy in your head. But then I catch myself. Well, you got to eat normal. You got to eat good. But there's this day coming when it's perfect. It's perfect. But why are we here, still here? I'm ready to go. You're ready to go. You're a Christian. I'm saved. How come when we're born again, God just doesn't look at us and take us out of here to be with him? Okay, you're mine now. Come on home. That sounds good, doesn't it? Why doesn't he do that? Why am I here? You know, we're his child. We're his sons and daughters. You know, if you like to give to your children, bless them, have them come home, why doesn't he? Why are we here? Why go through the sickness, the broken hearts, the bad relationships, the coronavirus, all the things coming our way? Why live in a fallen world where sin and wickedness and evil dwell? We're aliens. We're foreigners. God has the power. Know this. He has the power to just take us home right away. He can do that. Now, would you like to be in heaven right now? We all usually nod our head yes. Sometimes, you know, we're in that place where everything's going great. And you get a little thought in your head, well, maybe after vacation next week. Or there's a good place we're going to today. You know, we can get kind of personal something. But realistically, we'd like to be in heaven. Well, why am I still here? Maybe you're even asking the question today. Why am I still here today? Well, the answer is because God has a reason for you and me to be here for a time. Some for a short time. Some for a long time. Long, long time. God could just snatch us away as soon as we were born again. He could do that. Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. That guy won out. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. God can do that. I've known people that accepted the Lord, and a little while later, they go to be with the Lord. Well, first of all, I have a word of wisdom for all of you today. All of us here are alive. All of us here are alive today on this earth. Maybe you don't feel like it. Maybe you didn't feel like getting out of bed. But you're alive, and you're here. Why am I here? Well, let's please turn back to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 8. For if we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Here's the answer. If we live to the Lord. Why are we here? To live for the Lord and to the Lord. That's why we're here. Very simple. No pressure. God doesn't say you have to accomplish this, attain this, accumulate this. He just said, I'm leaving you here to live for the Lord. We put so much pressure on ourselves. We get so stressed out. We're here to live for the Lord. Remember Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't that sound good? I like rest. Why do we think there's more to life than what the Lord would ask of us? We're here to live for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, which we read today, verse 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk or live in them. We are saved by grace, and we are now his workmanship. That word in the Greek means a product, such as a fabric. We're now God's product. We're his. He's given us a new life. We're his, prepared by God. Why? For good works. He wants us for here for good works. We call that fruit. Good fruit. See, God has a plan, a spiritual career for each of us. He has this plan for us. He's the architect. You remember he told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I would appoint you to be a prophet. He knows us, and he knows why he created us. See, God uses human vessels to do his work. Who would do it? Who would spread the good news if it's not us? Don't miss out. Don't feel that life cheated you or you didn't attain life. Don't miss out. All you have to do is live for the Lord. Yield to the Holy Spirit in you and live. I'm here to live for Jesus. Now, does that mean I go to a monastery or have to be in ministry? No. He puts us all on different paths. But on that path, you live for the Lord. You make right decisions. That's simple, isn't it? See, we can't murmur or complain because then we're doubting God knows what he's doing. I'm here to live for Jesus. What did Paul say in Philippians about life? To live is Christ. To die is gain. He found it, the meaning of life. He said, for me to live is Christ. When I die, it's gain. I go home to be with the Lord. He surrendered to that. He understood it. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Tells us right there again. We're not here to live for ourselves now, but for him who died, Jesus, for them, for him who died and rose again. As a Christian, I am now to live for Christ and bear good fruit, good works. We're created for good works, it tells us. I am now to live out my time here for God. The time he has given me here. And only he knows how much time I have. So live it. You know, you could do it. You know what the best thing to do for life is? Live it. Just live it. You know, he knows how much time I have. And in order for people to see me, to see Jesus in me, I have to be living for him. They'll hear my speech and see my actions. That's how it spreads. That is why God still has me here, why he has you here on this earth. Because this plan he has is still not completed. Sometimes it takes a long while for us to just give up and say, okay, have your own way, Lord, have your own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. It takes a while, doesn't it? I don't like somebody working on me. No, I go against the potter, no. What do they do? Squash it, make an ashtray out of you, rather than a vessel. We've got to let him have his work in us. That can take a day or years. But there's this plan, and he won't give up on you. It's wonderful to know that God so loves you. He's created this great plan for you to be used mightily. And he wants to use you. He loves you. He's got good thoughts toward you, good plans toward you. And it must break his heart when we keep resisting. It's like you watch a child go wayward. Oh, please don't do that. If only you just listen to me, you'll be okay. And just yield. That's why he has us here on this earth. Because the world needs Jesus. We don't want to become a Christian, isolate ourselves, and look down on other people thinking we're better. We're all sinners saved by grace. You look at people in two ways, no matter who you run across, whether you like them or not, whether you hate them, well, we shouldn't hate anybody, we should love everybody, but whether you dislike them because they're not like you or whether they are like you, we look at all people all over the world in one of two ways. Either they're a believer or an unbeliever. If they're a believer, praise the Lord. You have fellowship with them. If they're an unbeliever, pray for them because they need Jesus. Love them and pray for them. In eternity, that's all that's going to matter. Were they a believer or an unbeliever? We are the ones God has chosen to live for him so they can see him. You see, Jesus is no longer walking on this earth. When he walked on this earth, he was localized, could reach multitudes, but right where he was only. So now he's risen from the dead. We've been given the Holy Spirit to carry the work of Jesus on, to represent him. We are the ones that take Jesus everywhere. You get it? We do. If we don't do it, no one does it. Hopefully, we're living for the Lord and people see him. Now, this doesn't speak, you know, when you start talking like this, people start thinking of ministry. Well, I'm not in the ministry, or I wonder what my ministry is. The word actually is a servant. We're all ministers. We're all servants of the Lord wherever we go. I think one of the worst things that happened is that ministry or ministers have been put on a pedestal above people. Now, maybe not in, I'm not saying people go around intentionally doing that, but it's just like a hierarchy has built up. It should never be. We're all the same in God's eyes. It says God is no respecter of persons. Why are we? That doesn't mean we disrespect everybody. No, we respect everybody. You see, so you got to get that term ministry or ministers out of your head and think, wait a minute, this is talking about me, all of us, living for Jesus wherever we go. Being a housewife is a ministry. Being a lawyer is a ministry. Being a pastor is a ministry. Being a doctor is a ministry. Being whatever you are is a ministry, a way to serve the Lord. If you live for the Lord, you can reach more people than a minister can in church, depending on the company you work for. There's all ways to share what you have. It just means living for the Lord. He prepared us for good works. It means I live as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, wherever I go, at work, at play, at home, in the neighborhood, on the street. I live for Jesus. I live the new life. It's not something I work myself up to do. Oh, I've got to do more for the Lord. That's putting pressure, and that's putting the flesh into play. No, it's I wake up every morning and say, I'm living for the Lord. Let him take me where he wants to take me, whether it's to the store, whether it's to church, wherever it is. But wherever it is, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to make wise decisions. I'm going to watch what I say. I'm going to love. I'm going to just carry Jesus wherever I go. Doesn't that sound simple? Can you imagine if we all did that? Wow. We compartmentalize, well, I'll do this in church, or I'll get ministry a job to do in the church, or in this ministry, or on the mission field, or do this or that. That's working yourself up. You see, when you really get it, what Jesus is all about, and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, is all about, our life is just spontaneous, immediate. We always react in a way that represents the Lord. It's not like, Lord, when I go to work today, help me to act like a Christian. I got a bad temper and I don't like that person next to me. Please give me the strength to get through it today. No, that's not it. It's waking up in the morning and saying, I yield to you. Let me carry you wherever I go. Help me to guard my mouth and my actions. You see how that's for all of us? All of us. We just simply live for the Lord. You're in ministry. It means I live that way. I don't work myself up to it. It means I bear good fruit. Now, an apple tree and an orange tree, what do they do? Do you hear those trees grunting as you drive by them? I got to get another apple out. I hope this one's good. You don't. They just bear fruit. Why? Because they're an apple tree. That's why he says it's fruit for the Lord. You bear good fruit. Because good works, that's work. I'm going to do this. Fruit, apples bear apples because they're on an apple tree. I'm attached to the vine. It talks about that in John 15. How we must abide in the vine and the root in Jesus to bear good fruit. Why? Because then it's coming from him and not me. If you cut a branch off, try this at home today. Cut a branch off that's bearing fruit, let it lie on the ground, and see what will happen to the fruit. You know what's going to happen? This is an easy question. It's going to die. It's not going to bear any more fruit. Why? Because it's not attached. Christians need to be attached, abiding. They call it abiding in Christ. And you will supernaturally just bear good fruit. It's when I get in the flesh. Say, no, I'm not going to bring any apples out today. I don't like you. I'm going to be a lemon tree. Sourpuss. You know, we just remain what God has made us to be, a Christian, and I just reflect what I am. In all situations, I bear good fruit. People try. You can't. You just do it. You don't prepare to do this stuff. You just are this way. You see? The word the devil uses a lot is try. You know, when I counsel a lot of people, and do some marriage counseling, say, well, go home and do this, and you love your wife, and you respect your husband, be submissive to your husband. Well, I'll try. Wait, get back here. As soon as you say the word try, it means that's you working up the power to do this. There's no trying as a Christian. It's doing, living. I'm an apple tree now, I'm going to bear apples. Period. It's yielding to the work of God in your life. I react in love, mercy, grace. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, now we're all going to love this, aren't we? When it's coming our way. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does that sound good? What a nice person to live with. I like you. You have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But that's for us. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Believe it or not, Christian, you have it in you to do this because you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. I have it in me to do this. It's just that we must yield to God and live it. Don't get in the flesh. Don't give any place to your flesh or your thinking or your ideas or your anger or your bitterness. You see, circumstances don't change who I am. I'm still a Christian. I'm still here to live for Christ. No circumstances change that. So we shouldn't let our behavior change. I should never change who I am. There's sorrow, there's grief, there's broken hearts. There's all kinds of things that come at us in life. It rains, but there's sunshine and blessings and good times. But I remain a follower of Jesus at all times, in them all. It doesn't change who I am. It's just that in sometimes I let the flesh take over, the old nature take over the new nature. Philippians 1, please. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 9. Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, be filled with the fruits of righteousness, how? Which are by Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Through Christ, I am filled with the fruits of righteousness. And we are to bear fruits of righteousness. That's how we should be living, bearing fruits of righteousness. The Living Bible, which I used a lot when I first became a Christian many years ago, because it's paraphrased, but you can understand it real clear. It's good to have your study Bible. We use a New King James Version Bible. But the Living Bible, I still look at once in a while to kind of get the thought. And in Philippians 1, verse 9-11, here's the way it puts those verses. May you always be doing those good, kind things which show that you are a child of God, for this will bring much praise and glory to God. Isn't that simple? May you always be doing those good, kind things which show that you are a child of God, and then bring glory to God. That's nice. Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew 12, verse 33. Jesus speaking here. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart and mouth, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. A tree is known by its fruit. That's how people will know us, by our fruit. Why, as a believer, am I here? You here? We know now. To live for Jesus. That's why we're here. He knows how long. Here's the way we do it. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Here's what we are. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We do things so that they glorify our Father in heaven. We're salt of the earth and light of the world. Salt makes things tasty. It seasons, and it's also a preservative. And that's what we are. Now, physically, you don't want to eat too much salt. It's not good for you, but spiritually, be very salty, very tasty. Create a thirst in others so they would want what you have. When they see that peace, love, who doesn't want that? Oh, you're so peaceful, loving, kind, gentle, I know that I want to live like that. Well, you sure do. Everybody does. And so with the salt, we create that thirst. Be tasty, and hopefully people want to hear more about Jesus. And we're the light of the world. Light exposes, and it removes darkness. People will be challenged. They'll see that they're in darkness. But Jesus must shine through us so the world can see there's hope. How does this happen? By Matthew 5, verse 16. Yet let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They'll see our actions, our fruit, and they'll see Jesus and glorify God. Say, wow, that's neat. That's what I want in my life. It happens, though, just by living for Jesus. Just allowing us to let the Spirit reign in us. Just living for Him. There's no special work or ministry or thing we have to do. If you just live for Jesus one day at a time today, leave here living for Jesus, you will be blessed and those around you will be blessed. There's nothing special you'll have to do. Just be with Jesus. Let people see that you have Him. They'll see your good works. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how you're going to know His will. Present yourself. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm your sacrifice. What can I give to the Lord? Myself. Live for Him. And that's my reasonable service. Just say, now if we've asked Jesus into our life, there was something there that made sense to us, right? The light bulb went on. Oh, yeah. God enlightened me. He called me. And He made this real to me to the point where I says, I want that. I'll pray and ask Jesus into my life. That happened to us, right? Well, what did we think? That we then can go back and live the way it used to before? No. We agreed to signing that contract and giving Him our life and saying, I'm now yours. And he doesn't give us a million things to do. All He says is, just live for Me. And whatever you do and say, just live for Me. That's simple, isn't it? It's so simple that some will forget it today. But it's simple. You don't have to work up anything or get involved in anything more than you are involved in your life now. He may tell you to, but it's just living for Jesus where you are now. And you don't have to be in so-called ministry. You are a minister. Your actions, your behavior, your words are reflective of who you are in Christ. Don't give in to the old nature, and please don't just try it. Live it. You know, at first, I'll admit this, at first, it's scary thinking of, will I be taken care of? Will I be all right? Will everything work out all right? If I just focus on the Lord and just live His way, yeah, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Just do it. It's part of God's plan, why we're here. We're not here because of riches or achievements or attainments or prosperity or personal goals or self. We're here now. God has this chosen generation we call the church. See, God created these people called the church so that they could dwell with Him in heaven, with the angels and all the spiritual beings forever. Those who freely chose to love Him. That's the difference between the angels and everybody else. We freely chose to love Him and live with Him. Isn't that wonderful when someone chooses you? That's love. That's why we're this special people. So then let's live like we're in love with him. That's why we're here. You know, it's a bad place to be, a stressful place to be when you are a Christian and you're trying to make it in the world or live for the world and what the world has to offer. That's a miserable place to be, striving, pushing, because it's sort of fighting the Holy Spirit in you who wants to come out, reflect Jesus. And we're saying, no, they call that quenching the Spirit. Did you ever feel unsettled and you don't know why? Well, we need to check ourselves out what we're doing. That'll unsettle you, quenching the Holy Spirit. See, doctors can't put a label on that. Psychiatrists can't put a label on that. They don't know what's going on. Sometimes they'll tell you, I don't know what's going on. Check out your life. I need to look in the mirror quite often. And don't forget what I see, like James says. I don't walk away and forget it. I do something about it. Because I could be quenching the Spirit. That's a bad place to be. Paul guides the believer as a Christian in the book of Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. In chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes, if you were raised with Christ, you were. We should seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So we seek things above, and we set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then he talks about the old sinful life, which we should put off. We should get rid of it. Verses 5 to 9. But then in verse 11, or in verse 10, but put on the new man, renewed in knowledge according to the image of him, according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. We're one group of people, no prejudice, no hatred, no anger. We're all one in Christ. And what do we put on? Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Do you have something against another? Is there someone you've not forgiven? I have not forgiven. Is there someone that I have harbor bitterness, that I'm not merciful toward or kind? I'm not bearing with them? It's hard for me to do that. I must do it. Because that's Jesus. And I live for Jesus. I would encourage you to do it today. Get it right today. But verse 14, but above all these things, put on love. See, it all concerns love. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. That's the super glue, love. That's what holds everything together and allows you to do these things. I must love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Isn't that a wonderful way to live? That's living for the Lord. Put on that bond of perfection love. In John 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus says, by this they will know you're my disciples, by your love one for another. Why are we still here? To live for the Lord. People need to know him. We need to leave here more salty and with a brand new bulb in us. Really shining for the Lord today. Close with this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Here's what we close with, as Paul did his life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, who gave to me on that day, and not me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love, for your mercy, for your grace. Very challenging words today, Lord, but it's your word to us. Let us receive it with joy, knowing it will set us free if we live it. We thank you that you saved us, that we're part of your church, and we'll be with you in heaven. We thank you that we're here at this time in history to present you to the world. I pray we would be steadfast, immovable in our faith, that love would rule in our life, that the fruit of the Spirit would be very evident. And I pray, Lord, that all of us would leave here today just living for Jesus. And wherever we go, whatever we do. And we thank you for that privilege to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.